I've been quite moved this weekend, and I was really encouraged. So this is a short little testimony of some of the effect it's already had on my heart. Hearing God was part of it. Not being afraid to hear God. And then when we hear it, able to do it. And then when Brother Dick was talking today about some of the martyrs and about the idea of trying to make it too easy. At least that's the way I took it, to be a missionary. Not that it's bad to go a month or whatever, but I thought about Jesus Christ asked for everything, and not part of our life, not a little of it, but every last bit of it. So we have no right to ourself except the right to give up everything for Him. And then as I forgot the older gentleman's name here that was there with Dick when he got right around when Dick was saved. But what you said tonight too was, so it's been a very edifying weekend for me personally. And I want to read out of Hebrews chapter 2. And this has to do with who we're going to trust and who we're not to fear and who we are to fear. In verse, I guess I'll start in 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And the thought that come to me, and I was so encouraged today, faith sets you free from being afraid of doing God's will. Afraid of physical death? That's something that I don't think I'm too afraid of anymore, but I might get to be tested. I say get to be. It's an honor when we get tested from God. It's not, you know, when you get tested, I've been thinking about it lately. One of the brothers back home has been saying it quite a bit. That God, he's starting to have confidence in you. So he gives us some tests. Because we've been passing some of the other tests that he's been giving us. He's given us some words and we've obeyed them, so he gives us some more. Isn't that wonderful? There's something in our flesh that says, well, why do you do that? And God's going to require everything. Yeah, he is. But who keeps people from being afraid to give up everything? Through fear of death? Some people just think of it as physical death, but I think a lot of people, and including myself in the past, has been afraid to give up my own will. Because what's God going to do with me if I'm not in control anymore? What's he going to do with you? What's he going to do with... I still feel like a young person. I want to say us young people, but I'm just 46. I feel pretty young still. What's he going to do with you if you say, here I am, I'm going to give up the whole thing? I mean, I used to think when I was about, how old was I? About 14, 15, 16. I used to imagine God telling me to go to Africa or somewhere. And I used to imagine being there one day and being killed the first day. And I think I didn't get to win anybody to Christ. Because, you know, I was thinking, you know, God, he's pretty rough, you know. He demands everything. And then I thought of God's will. And I remember an older man that kind of took me under his wing for a while. My dad was killed when I was 14. And so I think I might have talked to him about it or something. He said, well, Randy, he said, there couldn't be anything better than the perfect will of God. And so I got really happy thinking, yeah, if God tells me to go to Africa, and it was his perfect will, and I don't get to win one person to Christ, but I'm there one day and I'm killed, would that be so bad? And then, and then I heard a story of the Moravians, and I don't know if anybody ever heard of them. If you haven't, it's really edifying reading anything about them. But they, I think it was in America, so some Indian tribe had prayed. They prayed 100 years, they say, round the clock, never stopped. And there was one tribe, and probably happened to many tribes, but this one tribe, they prayed about, sent a brother to. The natives killed him. And then they prayed again. So we believe God wants to send somebody else. Who will volunteer? Somebody else volunteered. And the way I remember the story, there was 37 people that all went, and when they tried to make contact, were killed. And the 38th one, when he went, they asked again after 37. They're all killed. Nobody could. They tried to make contact. There was no real contact except there was people being killed. So 38, another brother, I believe they were brothers in this case, volunteered, and he went. And the natives somehow sensed, I don't remember if it was a redemptive analogy or not, but they realized that this man, these people keep sending people to us. Maybe they have a message for us. And they received him. And I don't know if the whole tribe got saved, but a lot of them did. And so I was thinking today, as Brother Dick was sharing, I was quite moved. And I was thankful that God frees us from the fear of death. And who is the author of the fear of death? Who is the author of the being afraid of God's will? It's our nature, but there's something else here. It says in verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. Human nature, the Son of Man, as a man, with God's Spirit in him, didn't take on his God-like attributes, so he didn't have any fear, didn't have anything to overcome, that through death, he just did God's will in every situation. His whole life, he became the perfect son. But through death, he may destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage." Bondage of what? Bondage to doing our own will. That's how I take it. Bondage, afraid. What's going to happen to me if I give my whole being to God? "For verily, he took out on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." Was he tempted to do his own will? Yeah, he was. I used to think it was just at Calvary, but now I believe it was probably tempted every day. "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted." I thank God for Jesus. He is able to succor or help them that are tempted. So we have a Savior. He knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to have his will cry out and say, "You know, God, what you're asking, this seems a bit much. Is there another way? Is there a..." But if there isn't another way to accomplish your will, Father, here I am. Your will be done, in other words. So I just wanted to share my voice of the faith that he's putting in my heart. It's getting stronger. I really mean it. It's getting stronger. And I hope that mediating up here, and I hope that others will get up here, maybe still for this conversation, we need to speak faith into one another. What's the faith? Faith is, "Here I am to do your will, God." Do I know what the outcome? Yeah, I do. Do I know what the physical outcome is? No. Do I know what God's going to ask me to do tomorrow? No. We heard that. But then he gives us a step. So be obedient to the step. Is the first step so scary? It might be, but most of the time it probably isn't. You get faith and you obey it, and God says, "Good, I got a child that's obedient. I'll give them another step. I'll give them something else." And they do it, and they're faithful. And God's rejoicing. And I sometimes think the angel, it says the angels stoop. I think that's in Hebrews too, where it says the angels stoop and desire to look into these things. I sometimes tell children, and I'm one of them, I'm a child. You're a child. Just because we're adults don't mean we're not children anymore of the kingdom. So God's looking, and you're being tempted, maybe with a youthful lust, and God's give you his word, and you know you're to resist youthful lust, and you ask God, "Help me, give me strength," and you cry out to God, like Jesus did in the days of his flesh, to God that's able to save you from death, to save you from sinning, and the angels are stupid. I really believe that. They're looking. And I don't know, some of our loved ones went on ahead, they might even get a chance to look, I don't know. And God certainly is looking. And I don't know exactly how it all fits in doctrine, but I picture Jesus looking too. And I picture him. And you didn't give in to that lust. You didn't give in to that temptation. And they rejoice. Say, "There's another one." See how they overcome. And Satan, he's really upset. And God, he might even tell Satan like he did with Job. "Look at that young girl. Look at that young brother. They're faithful." So Satan, he works and tries to get another situation, another temptation. And you overcome again and again and again. And God, he really is getting happy now. And the angels are getting happy. And then God's getting confidence. It sounded wrong to me. A brother started saying this a while back in our home fellowship. God starts getting confidence in you. And then he starts giving you more tests. And I thought it was almost like heresy. But you know, the more I realized it, I did, honestly. And this was just a few months ago. I thought, my, that doesn't seem right. I mean, why would God need to have confidence in me? I mean, I don't have any confidence in myself. But he has confidence in that life that he's put inside of you. And in 1 John, it says that that seed that God's put in you, it cannot sin. So what sins in us? Then it's our nature. If we yield to it, it sins. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And a will, he said, is present with me to do the good. But then I find evil present. That's in our nature. But what's been born of God in us, but it also says in Romans 8:13, if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you live. So God's Spirit, when it's let loose, it's going to win every battle inside of us. Every single one. We don't have to sin. I thank God for Jesus Christ. We don't have to do our own will where it's revealed. Where it's not revealed, we're still in darkness. But the secret things belong to the Lord. But the things that are revealed unto His children belong unto us and something else. Us and who? Us and our children. Thank God, our children. Yeah. So I'm really grateful for you brethren and sisters, and brethren include sisters. So I'm really thankful. So when you're in a battle, you're not alone. Remember that. You're really not. Sometimes I feel all alone. But who tells us we're all alone? Is it God? Or is it somebody else that wants to tell us that God, He isn't interested in helping you get victory over sin? I think all heaven's behind a young boy or a young girl or an old man or an old woman or a young, or it's medium age people, if we're, I don't know what medium is, but if we're median age, whatever that, all the way from little up, and you hear from God and you're faithful. And you ask Jesus to help me be faithful. Jesus Christ is not going to say, no, I can't help that child today. I'm too busy over in Africa helping them, or I'm too busy. No. He's going to help you do God's will. But if you ask Him to help you do something that isn't God's will, you know, it tells us in James, if we ask to consume it on our own lust, maybe you want a nice car, maybe you want a nice husband, and God says, no. Many more might give you a good husband or a good wife. Give me. But it says, seek first the kingdom of God. How great is God's kingdom? How great is it to be a part of it? Young children, young people. How great is it to be a part of God, to be in a war? When you feel like you're nothing and you cry out to God to do His will, and you know something from this book or from your own heart, God's told me to do or not to do. But you're tempted to do it, and because of God's word, you're crying out to God. He's going to give you help. We have an advocate. If we sin, we know that. But we don't have to. We don't have to. When I started realizing this, you know, I started getting victory over stuff I didn't know I could get victory over. And I just keep getting more and more things. And I keep seeing more and more wretchedness. I see my lack. Sometimes I used to get really angry at my children. I still get a little angry once in a while, but from, you know, it used to be just one person bugging me a little bit, I get upset about them. Now it might take several days of a child bugging me. And by God's grace, I believe pretty soon I won't get upset anymore at all. Because I'm so great? No, but because I'm growing. So there's more of His life. And from the point that just a little bit of stuff would upset me to the point that I'm getting upset now, I consider that a great growth in God. So encourage yourself. When you were tempted to do something that you knew was wrong, you didn't do it, even if it was a little thing. God values it. God values it. He said, He that's faithful, you, young people, old people, He that's faithful in the little thing God gives us to do, guess what? We'll be faithful in the big thing. Jesus said it. I believe it. I'm really encouraged. Thank you, Brother Dick, and all of you that have shared. I'm grateful to God that He still has a voice in the earth, and people, His people, the young people are still, we still got an opportunity to get faith. We still got an opportunity to take the kingdom of God by force, not a human force, but by simply trusting and yielding our life to God. And people look at us and they might laugh at us, might say, this is ridiculous. I mean, they have no power. They don't have any, you know, they don't have any guns or bullets, physical. And people might say, well, you're giving up a career for God? I mean, how dumb can you be? I mean, you're just, there's a brother in Missoula. He was just ready to graduate from being to be a lawyer. And he said he battled with God many nights trying to figure out a way that he could convince God that being a lawyer could be useful with the money and so forth. And finally he said, God won. And he never graduated, just a little ways away from it. His boys told me that the other day. I've known him for years. I knew he'd been just about a lawyer, but I didn't know how close he was. You know, he's a brother, yet in almost any situation, at any time, always seems to have a word of encouragement for people. So, there's one young brother here, and I think there's others of you here that might be thinking about a career. We heard about careers. Put God first. You can learn things. You might go to school and graduate, but it's not going to be your life goal. Your goal is to serve Jesus Christ. That's it. If it's your life goal, it's your God. I'm sorry, you'll lose your power. But if you want real power, Brother Dick said, and I've heard other brothers say it too. I've been saying it, and it's really to myself. It's really been encouraging me that man in North Korea, what group was he from? Oh, the Nazarene. They would stop by with Dick's every so often. He'd say, purity is power. Really is. So you want power? And they heard about a legacy this week. You want a legacy? Don't seek a career. Don't seek even a business. Seek God first. His kingdom, His righteousness, and He might let you have a business too. Probably will, because most of us are going to work. But it's just a tool. It really is. It's not what should consume us at all. God loves you. I love you a little bit. Like this one brother said tonight, I'm praying that God will love you more. I mean, I love you. I think I do, but then as I was going to say that, I thought, I don't know love very much. I'm still learning to love my own children. I mean, really, I love them. But how much does God love us? He loves us enough to test us and put us in situations that cause us to need Him more. So I want to say thank you, brothers, sisters, and everyone.